Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Nathan Kress on Stardish Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is December 18th, 2010, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Joanne, your host. Welcome back. I know it's been a minute, but you're here, and you know what? I couldn't be more excited because I have a great guy coming on the show tonight. If you haven't seen his name in lights yet, you will. Trust me. I have the one and only up-and-coming actor, film, director, jack-of-all-trades, Mr. Jerome Elston Scott. Hey there, buddy.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's, you know, as soon as you say Florida, I get homesick because that's, you know, I'm from Orlando. So I'm like, oh
really?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Aww.
I was just home for Thanksgiving, and I get so homesick because I love Florida. It was just one of those.
Really?
That's the big sacrifice in being in show business is having to be away. That's the big thing that I always sort of struggle with. I'm like,
right.
So far away from friends and family.
Right. Now, how long have you been out in Los Angeles versus, you know, since you left Orlando?
I've been here since 98, like late 98 is when I came out.
Now, I was having this discussion with someone the other day, because I'm from New York, and I always say that, you know, no matter where you move, there's no friends like the ones that you had from when, you know, you're home. So, like, I can go home and be with friends that I haven't seen in 20 years, and it's like we never skip the beat. But in Florida, I'm not from here. I haven't made friendships like that. Do you find that in Los Angeles as well? Like, you don't have the same type of friendships that you had in Orlando?
Yes, but I do have some really, really good friendships in Orlando. It's funny because I grew up in New York and New Jersey, and then we moved to Florida. So you and I are really, apparently.
Oh, okay. We're on the same pages here. Okay.
But I do. The thing is, I think it depends on where you sort of find yourself. I feel like I sort of figured out, like, really sort of who I was when I was in Florida, and I really connected with those particular friends. But I do have some lifelong friends that I've just had since my friend Marlene's still in New Jersey, my friend Kathy Bethune's still. I still have friends that I just connect with, and it's really interesting because when you're in the arts, you don't really have a schedule. You don't have like a sort of a 9-to-5 job. So it has allowed me to stay in touch with friends more than I think I would if I wasn't in any sort of if I was in a different field. It's funny. I was just having this conversation with some friends because I feel like with with Facebook and things like that, we're really starting to figure out a different way of communicating. So now, whereas you could never see someone, you can go to high school with them and then never talk to them again. Now they can sort of look you up and get in touch. And I wonder how that's going to affect people. You know, now you're starting to see and you look and you go, oh, my goodness, that was the best looking girl in school. And that was and look where they are now. And it's just, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
It could be good and it could be bad.
You know, it could be one or the other, and it depends on how it's used. And I mean, it can be sometimes. Like my brother says, the internet is the devil. You know, these people. That's how he looks at it. But where I look at it is, you know, I love the fact that I was able to connect with so many people on Facebook again. You know, that I haven't seen in 20 years. We just had our 25th. 22nd. It was 22nd year high school reunion because we never had a high school reunion, you know, and because nobody could ever find anybody.
And then Facebook came along, and we were like, you know what? Screw it. It's not, you know, the 20th or the 25th. Let's just do it and be done with it. You know, who the hell says it has to be 25 years? You know,
exactly.
So, you know, so we all, you know, got together like that. But, yeah, so I like it, you know.
I love the Internet. The only I feel like it's not good for kids. I feel like it hurts their social atmosphere. They don't have any social skills. They don't, you know, and you know, that's my issue with it, and it's sort of buried in it. And I feel like it has a lot to do with what is happening in schools and things with bullying and things like that. I feel like kids are not able to develop any social skills, and so they're not able to deal with problems when they come up because they're so busy hiding behind a computer. So I do believe it has its bad side. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm a little like, okay, I like it, but then I'm also like, I feel like it's creating some issues that we're going to have to sort of learn how to, to deal with. You know, we just started off the conversation very deeply.
I'm telling you, didn't we? Let me just switch out of that one for a minute. Jerome, tell me about how you wanted to, or you knew that you wanted, when you wanted to become an actor. Tell me about that first experience for you.
Wow. I was in the third grade, and my best friend was auditioning for a play, and it was called The Wizard of Oz, and he wanted to play the Cowardly Lion. And every day we were, after school, he was watching the videotapes and just going over it, and I wasn't really into that. I was into superheroes, and I liked comic books and things like that. But I was sort of forced to be there with my friend going through all this stuff. And so I went with him to the audition, and he froze up. And so I was there, and I was trying to jog his memory, and I was like, remember when you were doing this, and you were put him up and all that? And the person that was auditioning was like, why don't you audition? And so I auditioned, and I got it, and they had to drag me off that stage after that. I just loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the camaraderie with the, you know, even at that young age with all of the other kids. I loved being able to get out of school and classes to go. And then once we did it, and then you hear that applause, and I loved all of that. You know, and, you know, unfortunately, my friendship suffered because we were never friends again. And speaking of Facebook, he recently wrote me on Facebook and said,
I'm still
holding a grudge. Still holding a grudge in third grade. Yes.
Really?
So, you know, that's my first terrible lesson in Hollywood. You know, but that was it. I had never had that kind of feeling before. And it just, that was really, I finally felt like I belonged somewhere. And it was something that I wanted to do. It just felt right, you know, for me. And it's never faltered. I've definitely sort of moved into different areas. Now I'm directing and writing. But I just love everything. I love movies and I love that. And then, you know,
what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is E.T. And my favorite director is Steven Spielberg. And it was just something about watching that movie and then going to school the next day and suddenly having a common ground with everyone. It was the first time that I realized that a movie could be more than what you just saw on screen. You know, there was something about Steven Spielberg's movies that spoke to everybody. He didn't care where you came from. He didn't care, you know, what clique you belonged to or how much money your parents made. And you know, suddenly I could talk to the kid who I could never talk to before because everyone loved E.T. Everyone loved Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loved Jurassic Park. And it's still to this day, you know, people can talk about War of the Worlds or Catch Me If You Can. It was just such a great, and I just loved what movies could do. I loved that everyone would just stop to talk about films, and it just gave me a common ground. And suddenly I was, you know, able to move from click to click. I felt really like I belonged, and I had a common sort of thing with everybody. So that movie just changed my life. And, you know, even in Anderson's Cross, I'm dressed like Elliot at the end, where I have the red jacket on.
Yeah.
And, and I'm surprised at how many people actually get it. They're like, oh, he's just like Elliot. And my friends, of course, because when we were kids and we were playing, I never wanted to be anything but Elliot. I would refuse to play unless I was, but I'm surprised that people are watching the movie and seeing that. I thought, oh, this would just be a little homage to, you know, the film that sort of changed my life, but people are getting it, so.
Speaking of Anderson's Cross, which is your directorial debut, let's talk a little bit about that. Now, it's semi-autobiographical. What do you want to give away that's really about you? What is you in that movie?
I think the biggest thing is sort of that I'm a product of my parents. I just felt like I had the right type of upbringing. I felt like I had brothers and sisters, and you would never believe that we were all raised by the same two people. It was really about them allowing us to find our way and to be who we were, you know, to instill some things in us, but allow us to sort of grow and be our own person. And that has just helped me in everything I do, you know, that feeling of self-worth is just the most important thing I think you can give a kid. And when I'm in this industry and I see so many people, young and old, who falter, they just don't have that self-worth. I started to really, I don't want to say I realized because I already knew, but it just sort of reiterated how those morals that I was given in the beginning really helped me. So I think mostly I've nailed my parents. When I think of the movie, I think I'm like, well, I got them perfectly. That's how they were. That's who they were, you know. And you have to sort of come from love. And I mean, that was the underlying thing. I think that's why we have such a generational fan base with the movie, with parents and kids and everybody. It's like, you know, just love your kid. You know, that's really it. And encourage them to be the best they can be. Yeah.
It's a simple concept. I mean, you have children, love them. You know, it's
exactly.
Not rocket science.
Right. And it's
funny. You know, we're never trained.
Right. My parents definitely, there's so many African-American families and men that are angry, you know, and I feel like during the time period that my parents grew up, I feel like they had every right to be angry. But they had an obligation not to pass that anger on to us. And that I never felt like that they were angry. And when I look back and I know all of the things that they've gone through, I'm like, that's an amazing thing that I never felt like I had angry parents, you know, and I never felt like I couldn't be myself in the house or have whatever type of friends I wanted to have. Those are I don't know when they sat down and decided how they were going to, you know, have their household be, but I'm really grateful for that. You know, it just allowed me to grow, and it's so important and just in life, but it's important also here in Hollywood and in the field. I can really sort of put myself in any sort of group of people.
And just let it flow, right.
Yes, important to me. So
that's a great philosophy. And if only everybody raised their kids that way, you know, not to pass on our grudges from our time, from what we went through, to the next generation. You know what I mean? You're absolutely right. I couldn't have said it more better. More better. I can't speak English more better. More perfect.
More better.
Anderson's Cross was when I watched it, it was gosh, it brought me back to teenage years, and, you know, it was like, wow, I can identify with some of these things, you know, and I cried like a baby, and it just, it made me want to watch it again, and I did. And it's definitely something that, you know, well, not my 18-year-old, but when my youngest one, you know, starts to get a little bit older, it's something that I'd let him watch. But the 18-year-old, I passed it on to him. He's up in Tampa, so hopefully he's watching it on his train ride. You know, and it's something I think that everybody can identify with one of those characters in that movie.
I'm glad. It was the first thing I had written. And they say to write what you know. So that's why I kind of went in my own sort of history and went there. But I also really have a really big, strong love of movies. And I had also been and still am an actor. And so I kind of knew what actors wanted to connect with. And I wanted to make a movie that was a coming-of-age movie, but I wanted to avoid that little thing I see in a lot of movies, which is if it's about the kids, then the parents, the adults are idiots. And if it's about adults, then the kids are idiots. And so, you know, for me, growing up, I never felt smarter than my parents. And so, you know, it allowed me to sort of write in that way. And I think that's why we were able to attract some veteran actors like Joanna Cassidy and Michael Warren and Art Evans and Mary Jo Catlin and, you know, and Joyce Guy. It was just really interesting to sort of give them something to bite into that was also a movie about young people and coming of age.
Right, right. It just gels nicely together. You know, there's no stupid people. There's no over smart people. It's just people, you know, in everyday situations, you know, and I really dig that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm so glad people have just really connected. It's so surreal right now. The time that is happening with the movie and everyone's sort of liking, because you put together a movie and you have a love of it, but you really never know. You have to wait till you get it out there. And then suddenly everybody's like, oh, I like it. And you start winning awards. And, you know, we've been everywhere. We went over to Barbados and we won awards over there and won in Atlanta. And it's just, it's been great, you know. And there are definitely some gay elements to the movie and things like that, too. When we were in Barbados, they were a little worried. They had us sit at the door because they had armed guards with us because they weren't sure how the crowd was going to react, you know. And and we won the festival. You know, that was great, you know. And when the two characters, I don't want to give it away, but when the two characters got together, the audience cheered, you know. And you just, I feel like sometimes we just have to let people be themselves, you know. Sometimes we're so sure of how people are going to react, and I'm finding as I'm writing that I have issues with suppression, and I didn't realize that I had problems with suppression, but it's coming out in my writing. I'm like, you know, stop trying to keep people down. Let people be, and so many beautiful things can come out of that. And I guess that's where I'm at right now, you know, especially here. I think they're always trying to make everyone the same, you know, and it took me a long time
to. Yeah, cookie cutters, right.
Yeah, exactly. Hollywood is always like, just put them all in one place, you know, and it just doesn't work that way, you know. And I would go into auditions and things and see no one that looked like me. You know, but I would see a room full of people that all looked alike, you know, and they used to just moan when they would see me. The kids would just be like, ugh. You know, and it was just like, well, they're not, maybe I won't get this part, but they'll definitely remember me. I'm like, you know, the guy with the big hair, and, you know, it's just, that's it. You can't not be different. And when we look at what has worked in Hollywood, people look different. Tom Cruise is a different looking guy. Julia Roberts, they're all beautiful, but they're different looking, you know? So
yes,
it's really
they're not that typical blonde hair, blue-eyed kind of
right.
thing. Yeah, no, you're right.
They've got to pull you in. I could be wrong, but I feel like that really, really just ridiculously good-looking people are on television because they have to grab you instantly. And I feel
right.
like the people that are just a little off, and they're the movies because you keep looking at them, and then the more you look at them, the more attractive they get instead of the other
right.
way around. You know, that's just mm-hmm. that's just my own philosophy. I look and I'm like, I don't remember Angelina Jolie being that beautiful the first time I saw her, but she's just gotten that that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Through the movie, you know, it's just that's the way I sort of feel about it. But you know, mm-hmm. that's just me. But you know what?
That's a realistic
come.
View. It's a realistic view. You know,
right.
So, it's exactly, you're absolutely correct, because I didn't think Angelina, and you brought up the name, I didn't think she was pretty at first, the first time I saw her. I thought she was kind of odd looking, you know,
right.
mm-hmm. big lips, and she just looked weird, and da da da. But now you look at her, and she's like, oh, she's a beauty, but no.
She's drawn you in, right. Same thing with Julia Roberts,
yeah.
you know, and... Even when you go into sort of music, Diana Ross, and it's just like, oh, these people are just, those are the ones that just, they hold you. And you're
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, these are just great. You know, I actually got to meet Diana Ross a couple of years ago. I was in a movie theater, and she was in front of me. I was floored. So it was like 2 years ago, and she was just, ridiculously beautiful, just
right.
ridiculously right there, you know, and you just look and you're like, wow, this is someone who everyone is just trying to emulate. Like, there's no
mm-hmm.
mistaking the real Diana Ross. You're like, oh my God,
right.
there she is. There's the smile and the cheekbones and the eyes and the hair. And,
right.
And,
the hair.
And then you go, wow, you've really just sort of defined black beauty for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Janet Jackson and Beyonce and all these women are trying to look like you, but they're
yeah,
the original,
yeah.
right? You know, and it's just, it's very interesting. And to the upkeep must just be amazing. I just couldn't believe that she was that beautiful, that close. Just amazing.
Wow.
I'm really,
oh.
really, and I'm, my next film actually has her son is in it, Evan Ross.
Really?
Is in it.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's beautiful.
Tell me about that, your next film. What's coming up?
Prep School. It's called Prep School. And it's about these kids in a preparatory school in 1973. And once
mm-hmm.
again, it's dealing with suppression. And the dean, they've got this dean who's trying to keep them all down. And they're all dealing with, like, Watergate and rallying against authority and things like that. And we are shooting in British Columbia, and we start building sets January 9th. I'm very excited. We've got all our designs and everything, and it's got Charlie McDermott in it. He got a Spirit Award nomination for Frozen River, and he's on the show The Middle, and he was in Hot Tub Time Machine, and he's really going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also got Jeremy Sumpter. He was like Peter Pan, and we've got a new kid named Troy Hatt that's in it. So we're very excited and just looking forward to shooting that. And that'll be the biggest thing I've done. And then after that, I have a film called Hostage Diner that's a dark comedy about these hostages that take the bank robbers and kill the bank robbers and then decide to keep the money.
okay. I like that.
And,
that's a good,
yeah.
nice little twist.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm shooting that. And then I have another teen movie about these kids on the night of their prom called The Perfect Night. It's kind of
mm-hmm.
a John Hughes type thing. And then we're shooting a sci-fi independent film, and it's like an Independence Day, and we're shooting that during the summer. So I'm booked all the way to the summer. It's great. This is, you know, what every
You're
writer, director, actor
busy.
Waits
yeah.
for. Yeah, so, and it's all because of Anderson's Cross. It just seems like that movie just opened up so many doors, you know, and I'm very excited, and it's very surreal. It's also very weird to do all these interviews and talk about myself, and it, you know,
right.
Anderson's Cross was such a great collaborative effort. I made sure that there were, you know, just tons of people around me that had more experience
mm-hmm.
than I did. I was the least experienced person on that set. And it was a great DP. His name was Octay Ordobasi. And we had all those veteran actors. And it was just, I wanted to learn, and I'm still learning. And it was a great experience, and I'm so glad people are liking it. And it's, you know, it's selling. People are buying it. It's just, you know.
That's great. It's available on Amazon.com, and there's a website, AndersonsCross.com, right?
Yes, you can get it there, and you can also get it at TLA Video, and then also, something called Film Baby, but you can get it off Amazon, and it's just, we're pretty happy. And we just got chosen for the gift bag for the Trevor Project, which is, they deal with a lot of gay teen suicides, and this is a big year for them. Worthy to be in their bag was just really a nice honor to this year.
The movie was incredible, and it obviously opened up a floodgate for you, and this is just the beginning. You know, you're at the beginning of the dam, you know, and you're going to be flowing down that river for a long, long time to come.
Thank you so much.
I really wish you all the success with all of these projects coming up. I'm excited to see them when they're out and ready to be seen by the public and up on a big screen.
Absolutely. And we'll have to come back and talk about them all.
Oh, God, yeah. And and then some.
Exactly.
And then some, definitely. Well, Jerome Elston Scott is going to be a household name, whether it be on the screen, behind the screen, somewhere in that screen he's going to be. You will see that name. But in the meantime, go to AndersonsCross.com, and you can also go to Amazon.com to purchase Anderson's Cross. It is a must-have, and definitely a must-see for coming-of-age kids. Nothing wrong with it. It's a great thing. Somebody will identify with somebody in that movie. I know I did.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so
glad you liked it, and I'm so happy
for
you.
I really did, and I'm really glad that you and I finally got to sit down and talk.
I know.
And we got this all worked out, and now we know, and we're good. We're good. Together, and you can let me know what you're doing anytime, and I will gladly promote it. And Jerome, do you have a personal website?
I do. It's coming under construction, but it's JeromeElstonScott.com. And
okay,
I also
good.
Have a Facebook fan page, too, so they can
yes.
find me on that, too.
And
you know, but
are we Twittering?
Are we what?
Are we Twittering?
I'm trying to Twitter. My manager is all over me about Twitter, and I'm like, really? And I love all the mystery, though, with Hollywood. I don't want people to know that I'm at Jamba Juice.
I know what you're saying. It's a little too much information out there.
I'll put something up, and then my brothers and sisters will tweet something, like, you're such an idiot. Why are you talking? And that's the only reason. That's the only way the only reason they're on there is to just knock me down whenever I tweet something.
Oh my god, that's funny. But no, I agree. There's a mystery to it all that should be kept. You know, it's like my mother used to say this. You know, like leave something to the imagination. You know, it's like you don't need to know everything all the time.
Right, exactly. You know, it's just...
All right,
it's,
as long as the fans can find where to purchase your stuff, you're good to go.
Yeah,
and they can come
absolutely.
Listen to you on Stardust for the rest.
There you go.
Oh, God, Jerome, I wish you the best, and I want you to have a magnificent Christmas. Will you be going
to
Orlando?
I am going to head to Orlando, yes, and see my family.
Great.
And
we're having the best
go
weather
to Universal.
Now.
Yes, exactly.
Go do Harry Potter. I didn't do Harry Potter yet. I haven't been up there yet, but.
You know, I did it over Thanksgiving, and I used to work at Universal Studios, so it's like, it's a wonderful place, and Harry Potter's amazing. They've done such a great job. It really just, it's really, I love that.
I'm hoping to come up in January.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully in January, but enjoy your Christmas with your family in Orlando, and I wish you nothing but the best. AndersonsCross.com, Amazon.com for Anderson's Cross. And you were just listening to Jerome Elson Scott. Going to be a household name. I'm predicting it. Everyone, have a Merry Christmas, and make sure you come back on Monday night. And we'll be speaking with actress Tana Frederick about her independent film, Queen of the Lots. So make sure you guys come back from that. And again, Jerome, thanks so much, honey, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Thank you, you too. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
This is Antonio Sabato Jr., and you're listening to Stardish Radio.